Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Thursday afternoon, just before Friday, Monday morning podcast, and I'm just checking in on you. Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm just checking in on you. I have a special guest, too. I don't know if you ever heard that intro before. We have Brett Ernst from the You're on the List podcast, just added to the All Things Comedy Network. He's got a ton of shit here. He also has a stand-up special, hilarious special, Principal's Office, that you can watch for free, at BrettComedy.com, B-R-E-T, comedy.com. You can watch it for free. God knows all you fucking millennials love that. You don't want to pay for shit. And he's in the new Karate Kid, Cobra Kai, on YouTube Red. Tell me about that. That's in Ralph Macchio's.
Yeah.
Wow. May 2nd.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. The guys, I actually had him on the podcast yesterday, that executive produced Hot Tub Time Machine. They did Harold and Kumar.
And they're doing this too?
And they're doing this.
Oh, yeah. So you know it's going to be quality.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. And basically, it just picks up with Johnny and Daniel in their 50s.
In their 50s?
Yeah, Daniel runs a car dealership in the Valley. And Johnny's just down, man, on his luck.
I'm fucking in. Now, do they have the, what was the name of the actor who played the...
William Zabka.
Is he in it?
Yeah, he's in it.
Fuck!
Yeah, Johnny's in it. And it's pretty cool because it's, they're screening the first two episodes in theaters, like across the country, but like select theaters. But it got into Tribeca, which Tuesday. Dude,
this whole thing, you know, sometimes when they reboot something, I'm just like, why?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just be honest. That's kind of weird. I thought they kind of completed it. You know, there's some instances where they literally have to bring characters back from the dead.
Yeah. We don't have any CGI Miyagi in this.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. But this one here, what I like is they're not like hiding the time that went by, and that, okay, picks them up. They're in their 50s. And I think that's a really, interesting thing, just as far as being finally in a writer's room after all these years on a show that I do, is just getting to write to that, and you get to fill in all of this cool like backstory.
Well, there
of
is
what
more,
happened to
you
these
learn
guys.
More about Johnny. Like nobody ever really touched on, you know, because people forget he was still a kid in high school. You know what I mean? But now you learn a little bit more about him, you know. And then I play actually Daniel.
I don't want you to give anything away, but he was a kid of divorce, right?
His dad
wasn't around. That,
no.
You know, which was perfect because that eliminated. Why wouldn't your dad just teach you how to fight? They got rid of that.
Well, I mean, he had this, 16, 17-year-old kid with this, horrible sensei, you know, that was so impressionable on him. But it's pretty cool.
I don't know the character's name. I thought you were talking about the karate. Ralph Macchio's not named Johnny.
Johnny is a bad – well, I mean, it's pretty, indicative, I guess, at that time where, you know, I was a latchkey kid.
Right.
Everybody had single moms. And, yeah, well, Daniel's –
Both my parents worked. So we all had keys. And I remember I had all the names of the kids right by the door, and we would all grab our keys. And then, yeah, you'd come home, and whoever was the oldest was running shit.
Yeah.
And could tell, you know, just had total fucking authority. Could tell you to go to bed. Like my older brother would tell me to go to bed, and I had to do it. If I didn't, he'd beat the shit out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like, dude, you're only a year older than me.
He was 2 years older than me.
Yeah.
But I started fighting back. So then what he understood was like, all right, I'll keep him under my wing. And now I got a 4-year buffer between the next kid. And then that's when his power was solidified. And I sold out all my younger siblings just so I could stay up and watch fucking Deputy Doug.
No, I was the middle, man. But my older brother had all the authority. Yeah. I would come home and, you know, he was like the man of the house at 12.
Oh, yeah. And what were you, 9, 10?
I was, this guy was 4 years old.
Oh, 8.
Yeah, 8. Keith was 3 or 5, so yeah. So, you know, and that lasted pretty much most of my childhood.
But it taught you about power, how quickly it can corrupt somebody, how most people can't handle it. All right, so now I'm really fascinated about this. So Johnny is the Cobra Kai guy. I'm sorry.
All right,
but
you're right on both ends. I do think Johnny's father wasn't around either. But Daniel had to learn from the fucking maintenance guy. <'Cause> he's got no fucking father.
Yeah.
So, you know, who better than the guy that fixes the sink?
I think this is that's a really brilliant way to go. And this seems like a cool YouTube thing, because I feel if this was on a more major network, they would be like, yeah, but who are we going to root for? And blah, blah, blah. Like, let's have it based around the Ralph Macchio character.
Well, apparently, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of offers for this. And I think, you know, the Netflix of the world, maybe even including Netflix, that they kind of bid on it. And mm-hmm. YouTube Red got, you know, they got the nod. So,
Jesus, they,
well, they were telling us, cause I was asking them yesterday on the podcast, the producers, I'm like, you know, through the process and everything. And they said they went into YouTube Red and just figured, all right, this would be like the practice pitch. And, but as it, you know, as they sat on it some more and saw the interest and what they were going to be able to do, and it just became more appealing, and they went with YouTube
Red. I'm a big believer in that. I'm a big believer in not taking the money if somebody else will give you more.
Yeah.
What you want to do, because then you go down swinging with what you want to do, and I also feel you'll get more control, you get more of. I saw this great thing one time, this heavy metal band that never made it, and it just, I forget what the name of the documentary was, but it just took them through their whole career and how they just stayed together.
What was that?
Anvil.
This guy knows everything. He's like Google.
Oh, thank you, Aaron in the corner.
Yeah, Aaron's right.
Aaron in the corner. Anvil, and this guy, he just said this thing. He said, at the end of the day, he goes, you're better to own 100% of something and sell 20,000 copies than to own nothing and sell 20 million. Like, that's how bad you get fucked with, like, all of the expenses and all of that type of shit.
That was my thought process in giving the special away for free, is that, you know, I put my own money into it, and, you know, it wasn't cheap. I mean, for me at least, you know, as a comic, you know,
right. You're
always check to check. So it basically, like, I think my next special, I'll try and shop it, but excuse me.
Well, don't ever give up ownership.
No. Well, the thing for me was that this was kind of a personal thing for me. Like, it's kind of like a one-man show in a stand-up format, but I only had enough money for one take. I did it in a Colony Theater in Burbank. But the concept was basically, I want to own it. Because I found
how dare you?
Well, all my other
that's how this business. How dare you?
Well, the thing that kind of
you should be worried about exposure. We're going to pay you an exposure.
Well, the thing is too is that, like, all the stuff that I did before on Comedy Central show, I didn't own any of it. I wasn't even able to share it. You know what I mean? On Facebook. So I released it for free at brettcomedy.com, and you could go there. But the thing is, you could just watch it. You don't have to. I mean, you can give me your email if you want. If you want to donate or own it, download it for $5 or buy a T-shirt, you get the download if you want to. But you don't have to do anything. I just want you to watch it. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, put your head on the desk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
or click something else.
Yeah, we'll move on. It's fucking free.
I remember early on, I had I made a CD. I had a stand-up CD. That's how long I've been, like, you know, way back in the day. And I had, you know, put all my money up, paid to have it recorded, edited the thing. The thing was done. And then these big guys came around, and they were going to get it into stores. This is 2006, right before every Virgin closed. And I was such an old school guy. I was like, I want my CD in a record store, you know. And with the power of these guys, they'll get me on the display towards the front of the store, right? And but I knew enough that I wanted to retain ownership, and they kept trying to get to own it. And it was like, I don't need you to own it. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need any money on this thing. I just need you to distribute it. And this guy goes to me, he goes, well, ownership shouldn't be that big a deal to you. It's because what you should be concerned about is exposure. So I said to him, I go, all right, fair enough. But if ownership shouldn't be that much of a big deal for me, why is it such a big deal for you? And my manager was in the room, and he goes, great fucking question. And this guy stammered for about 15 seconds and then basically said, well, you know, we got in business with these other comics to make CDs, and their CDs bombed, and we have to make up the money. It's just like, well, it's not my fault that you got into business with those fucking guys. And the greatest thing I ever did was retain ownership. I ended up getting in business with somebody else, and that was like, you know, hey, you get 60%, we get 40%. I'm like, hey, that sounds like a good deal. And then all the expenses come out of my end.
Yeah.
And they get 40 off the gross. I got 60 off the net, and they ended up making more money than I did. And to this day, they try to tell me that was a good deal. It's like, dude, this thing came – it's like you always think, like, we're getting in business together to make money off them, and that's not how they do it.
Of course
not. It's like
not.
We're getting in – they're going to – fuck the people and you, and all the money's going to go to them. My favorite thing is I get in business with somebody else and all the money goes to them. And then when I get my cut, their name's on my check. And it's just like, so how the fuck do I know what came in? And then if you audit them, then you get labeled as difficult to work with.
Yeah, I know.
It's like difficult to work with or difficult to steal from. And like and one of these deals I had, it was like if they, one of the DVD companies, if I was to audit them and they were off less than like 8%, then I had to pay for the audit. And it's like, well, you just gave them a license to steal 7.5%. Yeah, and it's just like, I'm telling you, the number one commandment of the Ten Commandments that's fucking broken. Maybe it's lying, but what I've seen is stealing. Like all of these fucking idiots who are out there who are stealing on the illegal side of stealing, mm-hmm. selling drugs. I mean, anybody who was in the mob who was smart eventually went legit, so you could steal on the legal side. Then you didn't have to hide your fucking money, and you could drive down the street in your fucking Bentley.
Well, I've never – look, I love our business. I love the people in our business, you know. But there's a good amount of them that are just fucking garbage.
And I don't even know if they're garbage. It's just the way – the way it was set up.
Well, when you first –
the way it was set
when
up
you
if
first
they're just
come
playing
in,
the
though,
game.
Like when you first come in – this is why I love this era of comedy and where we're at, especially with the digital and the internet and stuff. Like I always say, I only need 1% of America to like me and I'm good.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's and you know, even if I can say a joke on stage, you know, in a room full of fucking adults and somebody's like, oh,
well, that,
I don't fucking
somebody
get.
Somebody just sent me this fucking article.
Like, what the fuck?
Somebody just sent me this article. Like this, I can't even fucking read this.
But there are some scumbags
says,
in our business.
Every guy checks himself a little. New York comedy clubs adjust to Me Too. And it's just like, this is just like such like a, you didn't even stick your head in the comedy clubs. I'm seeing the opposite.
Yeah.
There's like this backlash and there's this time now to be more irreverent than ever because, you know, not all feminists are bad, but these extreme ones, like what they're doing now with these articles is like the way we left Vietnam where we go, hey, we won and they're leaving. That's what they're saying. Like I'm finding myself, I'm saying shit on stage now. I never would have gone that far, but it's just like because you have to.
Well, you would have to agree that we're contrarians by nature.
Yeah,
which would be funny if you disagreed. Yeah. But so, I'm just saying, no.
No, I don't. I don't. you totally lobbed it over, and I fucking missed it.
No, but even some of the women are going the other way too. Like I've been noticing a lot of female comics doing jokes, you know, where they wish, you know, like in other words, now they're not getting any action, you know, and
right.
And but it's just,
well, it becomes inevitable where it just one thing just gets becomes exhausted.
Yeah.
Like it's all been said, we get it, and then it's just like how many times can you keep reiterating the same point?
I really believe that if comics, you know, we're such a great think tank because we really don't. I mean, good comics, you know, because you could sit around, you have no real skin in the game. It's more about the it's joke just, or the perspective yes. or you know what I mean?
Anytime anybody tries to fucking do that thing where they go like, you know, like where they try to put too much weight on a joke, I always just go, no, dude, no. It's just, this is what I always say to them. Like if they sit there like, well, what you're saying does influence people and blah, blah. I just say to them, I say, look, are you homophobic? And they of course say no. I go, okay, during a 60-minute set that I do, what joke could I tell that would then make you homophobic?
Mm-hmm.
How could I undo everything that you were taught in 60? What? How many of those jokes would I have to do? So my point of that is people come in. I'm so sick of talking about this too. People come in. Okay, they're adults. Mm-hmm. Their brains are fully formed, and they have their ideas. And the amount of times I say shit, and it's just like people take it a completely different way, is one of the cool things about like somebody listening to music, comedy, or anything. It goes into your brain and your experience and how you interpret it. But like, it's not my responsibility to babysit you. And if you take it in some really bad fucking way, you walked in with that shit.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if I had the power to undo your 26 years of experience with a couple of fucking jokes, then stand-up comedy would not be legal. They wouldn't let a fucking moron like me go on stage going, hey, I haven't read about shit. You know what I think about Syria?
Well, I mean, I always not disarm myself, but I am a jerk off. I know I'm a jerk off. I'm not like,
hey,
you know,
me both.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't take myself seriously.
I have the high school transcript to prove it. People always go, yeah, dude, you're not as dumb as you say. Like, yeah, I am. I am. I'm good. It's just you're watching the one thing that I'm good at, which is basically acting like a fucking idiot. But if you got me on and I could do like basic jobs, you know what I mean? Like I was a fucking like workhorse. If you told me to go over there and pick up all those boxes and stick them over there, I would fucking crush that. But if you wanted me to come up with a machine that could fucking make it easier to do that, yeah, I'm out. I'm a fucking lunch pail Louie. I'm a moron.
But what makes me laugh too is that even the comics that take themselves so seriously, in a sense, is like that game that we were on.
Hacks take themselves seriously. Hacks think they're fucking changing the world because they're too fucking bad at it to not realize they stink.
Here, I realized, so I was on a plane that we had to emergency land. Okay. And
those are always fun.
Some dude tried to kill another dude next to him, started choking him and shit. Like, we were literally 5 minutes in the air, and I'm like, fuck, because I was going to miss my gig that night. You know, that's all I care about. Oh, we're not crashing? No. Well, where are we going? I got to make my gig, you know?
He tried to kill the guy?
Yeah, he starts choking the dude. So then the guy—
Do you know what preceded it?
I was all the way in the back. I think the guy just flipped on him. It was like some dude that was unstable.
I'm
going to
go with the armrest. It was an armrest fight.
Anyways, long story boring. The guy's obviously playing it up now that he, you know. So they start— Now, us in the back don't know what's going on, okay? So the stewardess runs back, said, is there anybody here in the medical profession, you know, in the medical field? A couple people get up. I see a guy that was a cop get up, a guy that was a fireman.
She should have said, attention, everyone, there's nothing wrong with the plane.
Well, they made that.
Did they say that?
It came back to us. I mean, this is after they were asking for everybody.
Because I would have been in the back. How the fuck is a cop going to fly the plane?
the point being is that all these people started getting up, and that's when you realize that your job is just so fucking useless.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I just need to watch and, you know. Unless they're like, hey, can you come up and do 5 minutes to cheer everybody? Yeah. Other than that, what the fuck? All these people have a real purpose. And I'm not saying we don't, but if you're doing the Maslow's hierarchy thing, comics are not like—
We're like junk food.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's just a comfort food kind of fucking
thing. That's what we are. We're McDonald's.
It's not nutrition.
Yeah, so well, I would say—
You're going to be hungry again for knowledge 10 minutes after watching my act.
Yeah, like if you're learning from me, there's something off.
It's sad. And if anybody ever said that to me, I'd be like, oh, no, no. Try to point him towards a library or something.
Like all these comics think they're Carlin, but and
I don't think there's a lot of that, though. I don't think there's a lot of political.
Especially in like the open mics where there's a couple of younger comics that were talking to me that they coined a term called clapter.
What is that?
Like these people just go.
Oh, they don't laugh, they clap. Hilarious.
They just make a statement and everybody's like, yeah, you know. Like,
I used to call that was the Oprah. The Oprah.
Where's the fucking joke?
You two need to get a job. Woo! And everybody just starts fucking clapter. Well, I think, just going, if you're online all the time and like you just, if you get stuck into that fucking swirl.
A rabbit hole.
Of that shit where it's just like, you know, when people just start posting this information that you need to know, it's like, where did you get this? Who the fuck are you? And there's a couple, two words I hate the most is curating and algorithm. If I see that anywhere, because I got to be honest with you, like even like I, as much as I love Netflix and everything like that, it's like you watch one season of Narcos, your whole fucking thing is just now going to be all drug lords, behind the scenes of prisons, you know, San Quentin, the real fucking, it's just like, you know, you almost get offended. Like, you know, there's more to me than just that. So I actually looked at it, but like when I did my last special, when I went in there and they showed me how the algorithm worked, I mean, I was fucking blown away. But like, so maybe it isn't their fault. Maybe I'm such a fucking moron that I watch too many. They're just like, we give up on this guy. Let's just...
Well, I share one with my wife, and she's always like, I watch cartoons, man. I'm dead serious. And she's like, what are you, fucking 12?
You know, I would love them to bring back is Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest was all right. I got to be honest with you, man. I wasn't a big fan of that.
You know what I loved about Johnny Quest? If you fell off a cliff, you died. That blew my mind.
Yeah, that's
you got
true
shot,
too.
You fucking died. Like, people were dying.
Yeah, you were used to Bugs Bunny where everybody just came back.
Yeah, Wile E. Coyote turned into a fucking accordion, gave you a look like, well, that didn't work. And then he comes back totally fine. Should have been in a fucking wheelchair. Let's get back to,
by the way, I saw a meme talking about the Facebook shit real quick. I was dying laughing. It was a general and it says, Well, we bombed Syria. Let me go into Facebook and see what the experts say. Need to know what our next move is. Let me go to Facebook and find out what all the experts say.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand that whole part of the world. The people that were fighting and all that. But I also know that I haven't read up on it. But I just look at it like the people who are fighting don't have a plane or a boat. I just don't get how they're going to get us. I know 9/11 happened, but they caught us with their pants down. So all you have to do is just, what does Israel do? Israel hasn't had a hijacking of a plane in like, I don't know how many years.
Keep a dude in the front.
And then when they watch the planes all night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even a fucking option. And they're sitting right in the middle of that hornet's nest over there, and they're able to survive it. So I don't know. I'm just worried about us financially. Just I feel like these fucking jerk-offs, they're dragging us into the deep water here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the whole, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And it's just because, you know, realistically, why would you ever try to fight us? We could literally blow up the whole fucking thing with one push of a button if we wanted to. But I don't know. Maybe somebody over there is good at math and knows it better than I do. But I just sit there. Like, debt wakes me up at night. That's why I try to keep all my shit. I'm not good with it. So like anytime I see a story.
Does your wife handle that stuff?
No. No, yeah. I do. I am a fucking one-stop operation.
Mm-hmm.
I handle the whole fucking thing.
Oh, it's a couple days later and now I'm doing the advertising. Oh, Billy Sniffles. Oh, Billy Sniffle got a cold. All right, MeUndies, do-do-do-do, MeUndies, MeUndies, I can't breathe out my nose, do-do-do-do, MeUndies, MeUndies, I'm going to use my mouth, that's how it goes. Mouth breathing moron in the South. Shut the fuck up, just close your mouth. No one cares about your AR-15 or the fact that Trump's going to build a wall. Put on your undies. Sorry. Who the fuck is it? MeUndies, MeUndies. You've heard me talk about MeUndies, and you know that I am a big believer in their products. I believe that when you put them on, they cover your privates. They're the perfect balance of comfortable fit. Every month they have new and exciting prints, and they arrive at your door in a fun bag. MeUndies uses Lensing Micromodal in their underwear. It's a sustainably sourced natural soft fiber that starts with beechwood trees and ends with you not giving a fuck what they do with it. Your balls will feel great. That's what you need to know. MeUndies or your clam... MeUndies adventurous prints and designs are all limited editions, and new patterns are released every few weeks on a rolling basis. 100% satisfaction guarantee. MeUndies guarantees you will love your undies or you'll get your monies back. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. Anytime you purchase first-time purchase, you get 20% off free shipping. This is going to be too long to send via phone. MeUndies is so sure you'll love their underwear. They offer 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love the first pair, you get a full refund. You can give your old underwear to some tweaker out front. This is no-brainer. Get 20% off your pair and the most comfortable undies you'll ever put on. To get your 20% off first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/burr. That's MeUndies.com/burr.
Yeah,
I'm still an asshole. Even, I even do dishes, too. It's just fucking – I actually enjoy doing dishes and cleaning up. Because I'm a fucking lunatic. I can't sit still. I don't know how to... The only time I can fucking relax is if I'm smoking a cigar and I'm off them right now.
Let me ask you this question. Out of the, if you were to say you had one of those, the popular three that comedians have, the ADD...
Check.
OCD.
Don't have that.
Depression?
I didn't have the chemical one. Mm-hmm. I was just walking around bummed out for a long time. I didn't realize it because I was always like that.
Well, there's depression through intelligence, you know, like in other words, and not saying you're intelligent, but no, I'm saying like you see all these patterns and you just see like, what the fuck is wrong with people? Like, you know, and it just gets to you because
that used to, but I know how to talk my way out of that.
I got old. As I got older, I calmed down a little.
I just see. Oh, dude, we used to get into it. You and I.
But it was just sports. I mean, and that's what men should
sports,
get into.
Politics.
Did we get into it with politics?
Oh, dude, we would both have our eyebrows all the way up.
I thought we were on the same page with that. I think it was mostly sports. I think the one time we got into it is when
I remember I had to like literally tell myself,
uh-huh,
the next time you and Brett get going, you have to be the guy that taps out. And I started tapping out, and we've been good ever since. Well, I said, no, it never got ugly. But we would, but it was
Johnny
like,
Unitas. We both agreed on Johnny Unitas.
It was something important like that.
Yeah, it was. And I think you wanted to kill me at the time because I think I said Elway over Brady. I went Montana, Elway, Brady. And you went, what are you?
No, I didn't have a problem with that.
No, at the time you did.
No, I didn't.
Because
I
remember I hit you. Oh, no. You know what it was?
No, it was something different. Because I was always the guy, people going like, Brady's better than Montana. Once he got four rings, I said, dude, Montana needed four tries to get four rings. Mm-hmm. Brady needed six. And then once he got his fifth, I said, okay, now we got his fifth.
But my whole list has changed now because the year that Denver went is when I texted you and I said, this year Brady really – not that it matters that he impressed me, but I'm like, this year I was really – impressed with what he had to deal with, and you're like, yeah, but it was always over sports. I mean, the politics stuff. I think we were on the same page with a lot of it, if I can recall.
No, there was some huge fucking.
Oh, who cares?
Football argument. Yeah, I can't remember. All right, I didn't know. I forgot you played drums too.
Yeah,
you said you on your podcast.
I'm not like you. I mean, I used to have a trap set. I played for years, and then my grandmother sold it. Okay. But you know, every once in a while, I'll go into the guitar center and start, you know, playing on the.
Oh, you got to do it.
But when I open for
you, get those fucking V drums.
No,
you got to get it. If you get those fucking things, man, I'm telling you, like, you know, if you like, when I lived in an apartment in New York, I just put like this. I forget, it was some sort of foam rubber thing down, and then I built like a little riser on top of that, and then foam rubber on that. And then I put the kit down or something like that. It had to be solid so that things would stand up. I don't think it was foam runner there, but and then I went downstairs to the guy below me and said, hey, listen, I play drums as a hobby. And he's looking at me like, you motherfucker.
I said,
no, here's my phone number. I go, I work at night. You work during the day? Yeah. I go, I'll only play between 11 and 2 during the day. If for whatever reason you take a day off, you have a day off, call me. The second you call me and pick up the phone, say I'm downstairs, I will immediately stop. I mean, how could you have a problem with that? And you know what this fucking asshole did? Mm-hmm. Fucking 3 months later, I'm playing at like 2 in the afternoon and my phone rings. And I go, hello. And he goes, will you knock it off?
Yeah.
The first time. I say, hey, buddy, I go, you're fucking saying that like you said it to me 20 times. Go fuck yourself. And I hung up. I never talked to him again, and he never called again. But I still only played during the day, and I wouldn't play weekends either.
You think now if he's watching Conan or something, he's like, that's that drummer guy that lived upstairs from me.
He must have switched careers. Good thing, because he sucked at drums.
He was terrible.
You said you do on your You're on the List podcast, you do a lot of top 10 stuff?
Yeah, we just list shit. I mean, again, it's arguing with your friends over dumb things, which is
all right. You got one for me?
Yeah, well,
let's try to get the fires going again.
We could do five. We could do top 5. I mean, this is more your opinion. On my show, it's not so much me sometimes, although I've gotten a little hot-headed like over dumb shit, like Rocky 4 over Rocky 3, you know, stupid shit.
Yeah, it's important.
It is very important in the scheme of life.
It matters to you. You're living your truth. You should start a blog about it.
I was going to say, did you want to discuss who the top athletes, Boston athletes are of all time?
Okay.
Like, would you take Brady over Bird? Do you think he's number one?
Oh.
And then the next one could have been top. We don't have to do 10. We could do 5.
You can't get rid of Larry. Larry's like, and then especially too now, looking back 30 years and his stuff is still amazing. And I know Brady is going to be amazing too, obviously. But and I know he's won 2 more than Larry won. My thing about Larry was if I could go back in time, the second he started to do the blacktop on the driveway, I'd be like, Larry, let me do that. Let me do that. Dude, he's such like a fucking blue-collar guy and cheap.
Well, do
you remember those when you blacktop a driveway?
Yeah,
remember that little fucking brush they'd give you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not made for a 6'9", 6'10" guy, and he blacktopped his own fucking driveway rather than paying somebody. That whole blue collar, I'll do this myself, and he fucked up his back.
Well, it was never the same after that. I was going to say
all right, tell if we're doing if, to smoke coke.
If we're doing championships, I mean, then you got to throw Bill Russell, obviously.
No, Bill Russell's the top.
Yeah, it would be the
Bill
top.
Russell is the top. He's got 11.
Right.
So a lot of people leave him out.
I put him in my top 5. And then you got Ted Williams.
And then you got Bobby Orr, who totally changed the game.
Bobby Orr was my...
Who Wayne Gretzky says that's the guy.
Yeah.
Wayne Gretzky goes, that's the guy.
Yeah.
So you know what it is at this point? There's so many people in Boston.
No, well...
I just love being arrogant now.
Well, listen, no, I remember
this is what it is.
And
you don't have to go that far back.
No, you don't have to.
No.
And I was going to say too, well, I would put my top 10 in Boston athletes because he would be your Don Mattingly was Wade Boggs. I used to like Wade Boggs.
Yeah, no.
And I might throw Andre Tippett in there as well.
Andre Tippett. There's a lot of great guys that never got Jim Rice. We had Rice, Fred Lynn, Carl Yastrzemski. We just had all of these great guys that I always hated that. I always make fun of Dan. I don't hate Dan. People think I hate Dan Shaughnessy. I just like breaking his balls. But like he wrote that book, The Curse of the Babe, and it was just such a cop out where you just don't even address. Granted, I never read the book, but I just looked at the title and I judged the book by its cover. And it just was such a cop out. It's just like, no, dude, we were just a really bad franchise. We were a bad franchise. We were like the Flyers, where the Flyers got to won two cups by beating the fuck out of the league, and they were like, that's what works, and that's what the fuck we're going to do. And now they're finally coming out of it. But, dude, they had like a 30, 40-year fucking hangover of trying to continue to – maybe 30's more fair.
That Broad Street Bullies doc is fucking amazing.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
But they were so successful winning back-to-back. You got to understand, they were only in the league since 67, and they won their first cup. They went back-to-back 74-75, their seventh and eighth year in the league, and everybody's like, this is the future. And that almost destroyed hockey, and they just continued. It was okay during the 80s because there was still a lot of that left, but in the 90s.
Early 80s, it was still – I remember going to Brendan Byrne Arena and watched the Devils and Flyers go, and we just went just for that.
For the fights.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy.
The first like 9 Bruins games I went to, I would only go if they played the Canadiens because I knew there was going to be a bunch of fights. And there's a classic one on YouTube where there's a bench-clearing brawl back when the benches faced each other, the old Boston Garden, and Chris Nyland was – walking off the ice, and according to him, somebody threw something at him. I don't know what happened. He pushed Ken Linsman, and then the little Ken Linsman, the rat, goes down after this heavyweight, Nyland, and all of a sudden, too, there was like cops involved, and then the benches cleared, and I was at that game.
See, the thing with sports to me now, and again, man, I know the athletes are, you know, better, but the that's what it
Big
was.
Big Poppy. I got to put Big Poppy
Big,
on.
Big Poppy's he's in the 10.
Yep.
He might even be 5. That's what we were arguing about.
Ramirez?
No, the Jerry Rice thing that he was faster than lightning. And you were like, how the fuck is he faster? And I said, I saw this sports. That's what it was. Yeah. And you're like, how the fuck is that?
You can't be.
Yeah, you can't be. But it was a sports thing that I saw. But getting back to the athletes today are
sports thing, not a scientist thing.
No, it was fucking a sports documentary.
I love how you moved your hands around. Yeah. It's a sports thing. Like they were wizards. So,
no, but we saw
I can't believe I wasted a good 40 minutes of my – almost a headlining set, which is technically 45 minutes. 45 minutes.
Is there
arguing
a part
that.
Of you, though, that – I mean, there's a part of me that enjoys it, especially with people that are – I mean, not when you get worked up over stupid shit, but – I mean, but that's just inevitable. Maybe because the German in us, maybe that's what it is. But I do like
I don't know what it is.
The mental chess, like the point for point because, you know, I don't really do – you don't really get that a lot. That's why it's only with comics, like regular civilians.
Have you ever done it and you're in it and you're having a great time and all of a sudden you look around at the other people's faces
and, they're just
and
like,
you see
what
people
the
like
fuck?
Walking away or worse, laughing at you? What are they arguing?
But comics get it. I don't do well with civilians. That's like when we go out to dinner with like some random couple. I'm just so fucking bored, man.
Yeah.
I don't care about your kids and –
oh,
you know,
no,
the weather.
When conversations on idle the whole night.
You got to act.
My kid's playing soccer. Yeah, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah,
oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Yeah.
And you try to,
we're thinking about going to Mexico. And then all of a sudden you're like,
they have.
Well, what do you think of Trump's immigration policy? And my wife just starts kicking me. And you're just like, we need something here.
No, you can't. Yeah, you can't do that. They start telling you about some fucking winery that you can visit. And it's good for the kids because they have a little zoo.
You can feed pigeons and there's and you're like fucking this is horrible.
I know. And then the worst, then they see you and just I just have it all, it's on my face. I can't do it. Like Nia stopped doing this to me, but like there was this time every time we would go to a fucking party afterwards on the drive home, I would get like this whole breakdown.
Well, I have a bit where I talk about the report card.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah, I needed to tell you that before we get into it.
Oh, yeah, no.
No, they all do it. You get this fucking report. You think you had a good time.
So what is your report? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like, I thought I did great.
I thought I had a good game.
And then they're like, you think? And then they break out this fucking report card, and you're like, what the fuck?
Here's the thing. Can you fucking imagine the hellfire if you ever did it to them?
Oh, you can't. You can't. It's so funny. My wife tells me what to wear sometimes. You look – why are you always dressed up? She always tells me you're dressed like a bouncer because I just
– She's right, though.
All I wear is black.
No, this is the thing about women. They will step up your fucking wardrobe as I'm dressed like a complete jerk off right now.
Well, the funny thing was I was going to wear my Adidas tracksuit, and I said if I come in with this, he's going to fucking murder me.
No, you're rocking it. No, I'm wearing this because I'm doing one of those all things comedy poker things, so I'm dressing like a fucking
scumbag. I was born with it. I had an Adidas onesie. Yeah. No, but you know what was funny? We were at Sebastian's party. Remember?
Yeah, it was a great party for the baby.
And you were fucking hammered. And we were hanging out and talking.
You know what's funny, too? I went to go take a picture. I was by his pool. And somebody backed into my hand, like barely touched my hand, and I dropped a full whiskey into his fucking pool. I was so embarrassed. And Sebastian's going, no, dude, it's fine. It's fine. Was I that hammered?
No, I was hammered. I'm saying it a good way because we were all drinking.
And there wasn't a lot of drinkers there.
I was watching our wives, and they just look at us from the distance. And my wife's nervous. I can tell.
We were having a great time. And we're like, dude, we're going to rent a fucking yacht in the Mediterranean. We made these plans. It'll be $300 a piece. We're having a great time. Yeah. We'll get the fucking NFL Network.
We'll film it.
Yeah.
Film it, put it up there.
I'll hype your special. We're having a great time.
And I'm watching my wives, and they're just nervous. They're just watching, going, what the fuck is going to happen? I really don't think women get our relationship. I find that at least me and my friends bond through conflict in a sense. Like if I know you're an Eagles fan and you know I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm expecting you to glaunt your soup, you know, whatever.
It's weird that they like watching them argue on Real Housewives.
But they love the drama.
But when we act like Real Housewives over sports, for some reason listen to the thing. I guess the most accurate way to describe this is I've really been trying not to be me in my relationship.
It's so fucking hard.
Because I'm starting to feel like that is the problem. Like, no, we get along great, but when there's work to be done in the relationship, it's always now, Bill, you're this and this, and like one time I was hanging out with this.
We're treading on. We got to be careful with this.
Yeah, at this party, and I don't give a shit. My wife's cool. She doesn't listen to me anyways. She hasn't. You know, yeah, I figured out the other day. My wife hasn't gone to a stand up show of mine in like three fucking. She doesn't need to. She lives with me.
My wife's sick of it.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's not conducive for
Can you imagine having to watch your wife talk for an hour?
Ugh.
Can you imagine? Why would you do that? Why would you do that to the person?
And the same thing.
Ugh.
Over and over.
Yeah. Why would you put them through that? I have total fucking empathy for my wife when it comes to that shit.
That's
why I do the dishes.
What I also found.
I got to get something in the good side of the ledger.
On the scorecard?
Yeah, something.
I found that my wife, the one thing I found attractive about her is that she was not laughing at some of the shit I was saying. And I'm like, okay, this girl's kind of normal.
Yeah.
Like in my special, I talk about robbing shit when I was younger and stuff. Right. And, you know, because I was kind of a bad kid and a bad early adult. And, you know, and she's like, you know, I don't find that, you know, I mean, I get why people think it's funny, but, and I'm just like, all right, this woman's a normal person.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in so much dysfunction.
You have morals.
Yeah. What's this?
What's this? This is new.
No, I'm saying I grew up in so much dysfunction that I didn't realize I grew up in dysfunction. Like, you think your shit's normal until you meet normal people, and then you're like, you know, like, oh, you know, you have a dad.
I would say until you meet dialed down people.
Yeah.
They're not normal because eventually you realize that on some level they're out of their fucking mind. It's just not the kind of out of their mind that's going to get you arrested.
Well, like nobody in my wife's family knows anybody that's been to jail. And I know like 15 people. You know, and to me,
you were in those circles. So I don't know.
But I'm saying to me and my friends, you know, you think that shit's normal. And then, but it's not. Like, I met people.
So those are like the tips you're getting, like how to survive in jail yeah. as opposed to you need 2 years of a language.
You know,
have a couple of extracurricular activities so you can get into a good school.
Well, there are people that are around it, people that are in it, and people that are about it. I was just around it, and I kind of dipped my toe in it. And I actually, again, not to preface it, but I say on stage this, that I'm just because I committed crimes doesn't mean I'm a criminal.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
That's some millennial shit.
No, it's not. If you ever hang out with a fucking criminal, it's just a whole different breed. And when you're 16,
saying I played high school football, I'm not a football player. Yes, you are. You're not a pro. What, do you got to kill
somebody?
See,
Bill, this is why we argue. I'm saying is that like, yeah, okay, you commit crimes, you know, like, I mean, you know, but when you're younger, it's not, you're not a, there's a certain type of. All right, how about this?
I get it.
Just because you tell a joke at a fucking party doesn't make you a comic.
Okay. But it makes you funny. Okay. If it worked. I just want a picture of you on. Like, you know, the draft day for the NFL, it's for the mob, and you're waiting to get that call. And it's like the seventh, eighth round, and you just didn't get it. You got on the taxi squad.
That league folded.
Yeah. You got on the taxi squad and everything, and you didn't quite make it to the mob. So you weren't a career criminal. But if you.
I just like my wife, and she's normal, and her family's, normal.
Okay. That was the point you were trying to make. I'm going to turn it into a big argument. Okay.
No, but I get what you're saying. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. It is what it is. Right. What say you, Aaron?
What would you say? Is he because there's different levels. Because there's a punk, there's a dirtbag, and then there's a criminal, and then there's a career criminal, and then there's a psycho. Where would you say he's on that spectrum?
It's like he was a punk. He grew out of it, you know.
But he was a juvenile delinquent.
Yeah.
In fairness to him, he never said what he did. But I figure if somebody said I committed crimes, that's beyond, you know, writing graffiti.
Just stealing shit.
Stealing what?
Like I stole a car in middle school and then.
That's a felony.
I know. And then me and my brother.
Stealing a car is like you'll go to jail for
but,
that.
But my friend, I just rode shotgun and laughed the whole fucking time.
What kind of car?
I don't even remember. It was like in 85, 86.
I tried to steal a car. It was actually a truck. We tried to steal a truck.
Did you? This
well, was, we got in it. And then we were looking for keys on the visor, we couldn't find it. So then we just pushed it down the hill into a river.
Now that's just being dumb. And you know what I mean? You're not a criminal.
I remember we were pushing, all the wheels were like locked. And then when something snapped and it was going, I remember pushing it and laughing so hard I couldn't feel my legs. And we were shit-faced and trying to run back to the car drunk. Laughing at just what you did. And then I remember we all had to just
ruin some guys.
But then we all had to get the fuck out of there. God, I haven't thought about that in forever. We all had to get the fuck out of there. I remember the next day my buddy going, I feel like we got cheated out of that laugh because we all had to fucking just.
Were you the funniest out of your friends?
It was during the day too.
Broad daylight. And you were drunk?
And we were drunk.
Was it summer or some shit?
No, somebody somehow.
If it was the winter, that's odd.
It was the weekend and somebody somehow had. Got a case of beer and, you know, one of those deals you just start drinking like, and, you know.
Hey, I got an idea.
Well, you know how like you, like the way you drink when you first drink is like, you ever hear that shit about like it's way worse to get, like if there's a poisonous snake, it's way worse to get bitten by a baby one than an adult. Because adult knows, it'll give you just enough to fuck you up. But the baby just like both barrels. That's how you drink. Like when you're an adult and you drink, you're a gentleman, you're sipping shit, you know, you're like Gleason in the fucking. The hustler, right? Yeah. But like when you're a kid, you're Fast Eddie and you're sucking it down, you're a fucking mess. That's the way we were drinking. And we ended up, you know, and we were underage. So you end up in a parking lot or the woods.
So
we were in a parking lot.
Here's the difference to my point. Now, let's just say that I'm with my friends and there's one kid that's like, hey, I have an idea. Let's break into this dude's apartment. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you're like, okay, because it'll be fun to break in somebody's apartment. But this guy has got other motives. Like he's like, no, no, no. I know we're going to take the credit cards. I'm going to take the keys. Like he's got it planned out. But I'm in it just because I think it's fun.
You're in it for the story.
Yeah. And the laugh. Yeah. The story. Absolutely. You know, when you're a young dude and you're trying to get a rep, you know, and you're just. So that's when you commit the crime. But then there's the guy that's like. No.
Oh, he sees a future.
He's like, here's what you're going to do.
And I'm going to put a house on this.
Yeah. And then
and this
then,
other guy's going to have to pay for
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Like that's the difference between.
We're never going to get caught.
That would be the difference between like, because when my buddy pulled up with the car I jumped in the car and we just went cruising. And then we ended up wrecking it. It was four of us. I would love to tell this story one time about that night because it was four of us, me and my
wife. Well, you should tell it on your podcast.
Yeah.
You're on the list.
Yeah, I won't do it now.
Yeah,
is that a passive aggressive way for me to say shut the fuck up with the story, or is that like a way?
No, because it seemed like you didn't want to tell it now. If you want to tell it now, I'll listen.
No, it's not even that long. I'm just saying, like, if I could ever write a short film or something.
Oh, okay.
It was just an interesting night that the four of us got pinched and the other two didn't.
And they didn't rat you out or anything?
No. Did you ever?
I remember one time we stole a case of beer out of a fucking liquor store, and the whole thing was like. This was the deal. So we came up with this idea. Oh, I can't tell this story because
just don't use names.
No, because we're doing some of it on a project that I'm working on. So I can't give this away. But we're giving these people like blue balls, story blue balls here. You know the deal. It's just basically you fucking walk in, the oldest guy looking kid, and you just fucking you walk in, you stand
grab
in line.
It.
You act like you're gonna pay, and at the last second you fucking run out. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was one of those.
I used to go into grocery stores when I had no money, man. And, I'm like 19. I was washing dishes at Hooters. I had like three. I was bouncing at a nightclub, washing dishes at Hooters. I was trying to do something with my life.
Did you ever have to clean the grease trap?
Oh, it's the fucking worst, man. We had to do it every night. Cause
that's not bad. Ours was every 3 months. It'd be 3 months of grease.
We had to clean the fucking fryers, man. That was a pain in the ass. Empty all the oil out. I was a prep cook. I robbed every place I worked for, man. That's how I ate. I used to kangaroo pouch my apron, and then when I was like prepping food, I would put it in my apron. I had a
what
cool
are you fucking
in my
homeless?
Trunk.
What do you mean that's how you ate?
Well, I was pretty much on my own. I mean, I was one of those losers that went away to community college.
I've never heard of that.
You know,
I never knew.
I went to community college
in
another
door.
Town. No, it doesn't. That's the point. I'm crashing at some other dude's apartment, and then I was trying to go to school and just try and get my life going, man. And when I worked there, I just used to stack up on food. I had a cooler in the trunk.
Oh, you were broke. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
All right.
But
I've told this story before. I was working in this restaurant, and there was this guy who worked there, and he fucking. He lost his license for drinking and driving so many times that there was no date that he was going to get his license back. And this was the 80s. And he had lost it. This is right when Mothers Against Drinking and Driving came out. Like the level of fuck up you had to be. And he was about 34, 35. And he already had the gin blossom nose. He looked like
W.C. Fields.
Yeah. And he was 34, 35, right? And so he used to ride this moped to work. I was living in North Carolina, and he fucking used to ride this moped to work, and he lived in a trailer park. So this fucking moped, he didn't have a driver's license. This was it. This was it for this guy. Like, this was his mode of fucking transportation. I remember he used to, like, on cold winter days, he'd come to work, and he would always be drunk and hungover, so he would shower late, and he would come to work, and his hair would still be wet, and he would have frost on his hair. He looked like fucking Grandpa Munster, right? So one time, he parked it back there. And this other kid who was, I remember, he was into Metallica. Classic burnout teenager. He had like he like never shaved his upper lip, so he had that awful prepubescent fucking mustache.
Yeah, that little looked like somebody spit little, dip on his
always,
lip.
Yeah, it's always blonde, no matter what color. You have jet black hair, that little blonde mustache, right? So we thought it'd be funny if we took his moped and hid the thing, and he'd think that it was stolen. Watch him freak out and be like, "Ah, yeah, we'll tell you what it is." So just to freak this guy out, and this guy had like nothing, right? So he was in waiting tables, and we took his moped, and behind the restaurant was this little shed built into a hill that they kept all the extra kegs of beer and all that stuff. So we wheeled it around and put it up on the roof because you could just walk up. There was like a driveway. You went up, and we just stuck it up on the fucking roof and just left it there. And he came out, and he saw it, and he was fucking freaking out. I remember pretending to wash dishes, and my shoulders were shaking watching this guy. I mean, this was like his fucking Hope Diamond. And then finally we couldn't stop, and we just all started laughing. He's like, "You fucking assholes." And we go, "Yeah, it's up on the roof." And we walked out. We went up on the roof, and it was gone. Somebody stole it.
That's so fucking awful.
No, it gets better. So he reports it stolen. They ended up catching the kid like 2 days later, and the kid had tried to paint it. I'll never forget. It was a silver one, and he sprayed all this black on it, did a shit job, and it looked like fucking shit. And I remember like 3 days later, the guy riding back to work with frost in his mustache and this horrible silver and like fucked up black paint all over it. I actually really felt bad. I felt bad about that.
Do you ever remember the kid growing up with the mini bike? That kid was always going to equal scumbag. Like, did you guys make mini bikes? I have that kid that had the mini bike with
no.
like the lawnmower.
I remember, well, my parents were like, you're not riding those fucking things. They're both in the medical field. So one of my brothers bought one and had it hid by, it was another shed. It was always a shed when I was growing up. He had it hid behind there. And just the pressure of it, because he had to keep it away from us. He thought I was going to
wrap it. Did he buy it from a kid that made it, or was it like a legit?
No, no, it was a moped, and he bought it. It wasn't a dirt bike. But my parents were like, you know, in the medical field. So no matter what you wanted to do, if it was remotely dangerous, my dad's thing was, Christ, I had a patient in the other day. He's riding a moped. Hey, blah, 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 and he's gone. He was always dead. No matter what the fuck he wanted to do, he had a patient in the other day. You know, it's just like. It was just so fucking. What a coincidence, Dad! Mm-hmm. Every fucking thing I want to do was like one of those.
They always play that worst possible scenario game.
But here's the thing: now that I got a kid, I totally get it.
Did they tell you that? Like, once you have a kid, you'll understand.
No,
you know, did they ever tell that at you?
My parents. What great thing about them is they let you figure out as much as they stayed on you on the big shit. Don't do drugs and all of that, and stressed education. They let you figure out a lot of shit. And I think that that's why, you know, people in my family are like self-sufficient mm-hmm. and have that fucking, you know, you don't stand around looking at the rock. You're like, I guess I have to push this fucking thing or it's not going to move. Yeah. I remember like, and like the life lessons, remember, I had this piece of shit pickup truck and I bought, and it was my first car and it broke down. And so I got on the payphone, so long ago this was. I fucking called my mom, like, Mom, my truck isn't starting. I went through the whole fucking scenario, and I got to be at work. Blah, blah, blah. And she listened to the whole fucking thing, wasn't saying anything. And then I finished, and she goes, well, what would you have me do? And I was like, oh, shit. And I looked down. There was a phone book right there. And I was, you know, somebody fucking ripped all the pages out. And I was like, all right, I guess I got to call a tow truck. I mean, she was one step away from calling me a pussy.
Yeah, like, your mom?
Yeah, like, why are you fucking, like, what am I, a fucking mechanic? All of that was in that. You have a dime. Why did you fucking, it was a dime back there. Why did you fucking call me? Call a fucking tow. What am I going to go down there and pick the truck up, you fucking moron? I know you suck at math. Are you bad at life too? I heard all of that and I felt stupid. But I remember I was mad at her. And then.
But was it tough love or was it?
No, it was
don't
totally
fucking
tough
bother
love.
Me.
No, 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 no.
It was all planned. It was
tough love because it was just like,
this kid's got to learn.
Yeah, because one of these days you're going to be on your own. And like, I saw Dana Carvey do a hilarious bit about that where, you know, his kids were calling him up or something like that because something wasn't working rather than calling the landlord. And I guess that's a thing with kids nowadays. Like his generation went too far overcorrecting because like, you know, if you watch like his comedy, you know, the old guy, We had a game called Stare at the Sun, you know, like I think his was so tough that then there was maybe like a bit of an overcorrection. But I remember when he was doing that bit, I'm not going to try to redo it. It was fucking hilarious. But it reminded me of that story. And then thinking like once again, how right my mother was being like, all right, well, you have a fucking brain. Use it.
The thing that I found the difference, like the way our parents were raised and the way they raised us is like my mom, when she was younger, you know, you stay outside, kids played outside, you come home when the lights came on. I mean, you're a little older than me. And where I grew up was a little different too in North Jersey at the time. You know, it wasn't, our parents raised us the same way, but the outside wasn't safe. If that makes any sense. When they were younger, it was safe. But then, like, come home when the lights are on.
Right.
You're like, okay. And I'm riding by fucking crackheads. And, you know, because to them, they were raised that way. And then I all think our parents saw a lot of shit they shouldn't have seen at a young age, people our age, you know? And now they're overprotective.
Yeah. I don't know how to, like,
I think it's going to even out too, with, like kids your age. I think you guys are going to be a happy medium.
You know what really fucked me up was, you know, remember that To Catch a Predator?
Yeah,
like
of course.
That, like, makes it seem that there's a fucking creep behind every tree. And I don't know if back in the day, because back in the day you just say he's a dirty old man, stay away from him. But I think that there's a with the internet. Yeah, and the ability for people to act on stuff and feed shit and watch all this porn and all of this type of stuff. And I think it draws these fucking people out.
Well, the internet is like one big fucking neighborhood and there's no really securing. I mean, there's shit that I see in my feed, and I'm like, what the fuck? Or you read these comments, you're like, who are these people?
I'm kind of getting away from. But the thing about it is, though, the internet is fucking incredible, too. If you try to learn shit, the right shit, like, dude, if you want to get that fucking V-drums, if you want to learn a bunch of shit, you know, there's always somebody doing a drum cover where we'll break down something that you can't fucking figure out. Well, and now there's like some monster fucking teachers out there. Mike Johnston, the guy I take lessons with, Dave Elitch, just started doing shit. And these guys are like legit fucking, like, they know what they're doing. And like, so if you stay in those areas, learning how to cook.
Oh, yeah, you're good.
You're good.
The internet is an exact, what's the word I'm looking at? It's just an exact replica of human nature. Is that, like, you know, first of all, the idea that we're going to build this information highway, we're going to connect people all over the world, we're going to learn from each other. And like 80% of it is porn. You know what I mean? And then you
or
get
clickbait.
Yeah, you got these fucking scumbag people and these fake articles and these everybody. Yeah, and then there's that's human nature, man. And it's an exact replica of it.
I've been away. I'm trying to be viceless here in April. Like, no porn, no cigars, no booze. I fucked up the other day. I took a couple hits of weed.
I thought because I jerked off to something.
While smoking a cigar.
Dude, I haven't had a drink since New Year's, man.
Oh, you know what, dude? I think we're going over here. Before I just saw the next podcast guy looking in here. Before I get out of here, I do have to address the fact that the congratulations to the Maple Leafs. You guys finally fucking showed up and played a hell of a game. But I feel good. But this is going to come out Thursday. I feel good about our chances Thursday, considering, you know, I just don't see us getting 40 shots on goal again and losing. So all we got to do is win this next one. We're up 3-1, but it was a phenomenal game. And that was the first game in this series that felt like playoff hockey, where both teams were fucking out there killing it. So I look forward to tonight's game 4. Brett Ernst, he's got a new series on YouTube Red that debuts May 2nd. The Cobra Kai Kid. If you want to watch his stand-up special, Principal's Office, for free, you can get it at Brett, BRETComedy.com.
And you could also go to Instagram and also subscribe to my podcast at BrettComedy.com.
And you can also listen to his podcast right here on All Things Comedy. Mm-hmm. You're on the List podcast. All right, Brett, thanks so much.
Dude, love you, brother.
All right,
thank
love you,
man.
Too. Thanks, buddy.